I just want to do God's will.
The kind of revolution that the world needs is a Christian revolution.
If you want a miracle, you've got to expect it to happen.
You're the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, and you rejoice in that reality.
Welcome to Life Today Live. Randy Robinson here. Good to have you. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about it from a legal standpoint especially, but obviously it's much bigger than a legal thing, but we do operate in that sphere, so it's important. And I have, you know, in the past, I think, you know, especially when Roe versus Wade was overturned, shockingly, you know, said, oh, it's a states' rights thing. And since that's come about, you know, I've thought about it, and I thought, you know, slavery was states' rights at a time. Was that the right thing? You know, and if you look at the Constitution, there is this, you know, bit about having the right to life as an unassailable right in this country. And I'm kind of gone over to the side of, you know, if I had it my way, I would have a federal law outlawing abortion with very few exceptions. Obviously, if my wife and we thought we might be in this situation at one point with some complications with a pregnancy. I don't necessarily want the government in there telling me I got to make a choice between my wife and my child. You know, that's a tough one. I don't want the government in there. But fortunately, everything was good with us, so we didn't have to face that. But I just think it's too big of an issue to leave in the hands of whatever politicians in office, especially the ones that are in office now. So we're going to talk about that. I have someone with me who knows way more about it than I do, and that's what I love about doing these interviews. I bring smarter people than me on here to talk about this, and Emily Davis is one of those. You might have seen her. She's been on Fox, CNN. She's contributed to Newsweek, USA Today, Real Clear Politics. I actually saw her in The Federalist and The Daily Caller recently, so you'll see her byline in lots of places. She's right in the thick of it. She works for the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life Foundation. I guess not a foundation. Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America is the proper name of it, and we'll tell you more about that. But we're going to hash through some of those things. So appreciate you being listening, be a part of the conversation. Think maybe I'm open to changing my views in ways that are healthier. So let's have the dialogue. And Emily, I'm glad you're here today to have the dialogue with us. Thanks for being on the program.
Randy, thanks for having me on. I don't know about smarter than you, but I think that we are here to both have this conversation. And you know what? I'm so thankful you brought me on, because this is really the debate that's happening across the country. Yeah. So I think it's going to typify that.
Well, so what's your take on the states' rights versus federal thing? Because, I mean, I could probably argue both sides if you wanted me to, but I don't know. What do you think?
I have two. Actually, I used to be states' rights only. And let me just say, I am very much a states' rights person.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
States' rights, I mean, the federalism is so important. But when we look at the issue of life, where you live shouldn't determine whether you live. Mm. And really, that is so important to keep in mind. This isn't a public library to be built or a pothole to be mended. We're talking about actual lives. I mean, this is a human rights issue for sure. And something that your listeners might not be aware of, or viewers, is that the United States is a complete global outlier on this issue. The United States is only one in seven countries that allows for abortion, elective abortion, past 15 or 5 months, 20 weeks. I mean, that's unconscionable. So, I mean, we're right alongside there with human rights abusers like mainland China. And I think I mentioned to you earlier, I actually grew up over in that area. I grew up in Taiwan as a missionary kid for 16 years. And that really informed my understanding of abortion when I was confronted with that as a little girl. The idea of, if you're not culturally perfect, you're not making it into this world. And so as a little girl, that really struck me.
That's interesting. That also explains why you speak Mandarin. And for those of you at Columbia University, that's Chinese. So okay, so you talk about your childhood, but I mean, to get you to the point of being an activist, right, and someone who is contributing to lots of outlets, discussing the issues around abortion, I mean, that's... There's something going on. What has drawn you to this fight?
Well, I did have a personal experience that really cemented that for me. So, you know, I said I was a missionary kid. Yeah. I came back to the States to go to college, and really just had, you know, such a, I don't want to say culture shock, but my gosh, you know, I had kind of piggybacked off my parents' faith for a long time. And I was really confronted with that when I came to the States. Sure. And I just did not seek my value in God. That was for sure. I was looking for it in friends, boyfriends, and then ended up, I had two unplanned pregnancies by the age of 22. You know, my trajectory in college, I dropped out. I mean, Randy, I was living in a motel at one point, you know, with my boyfriend pregnant. And I had people telling me, you don't have enough money to have a kid. You need to abort. You do not need to be doing this. Your child is not, once again, culturally perfect for this society. You don't need to be bringing them into this world. I am so thankful that during that time, I found my child's value in God and not the people around me, and ended up giving him life. And what I did was I made an adoption plan. And you never hear about this from corporate media, but the overwhelming majority of adoptions today are open. The mom, the birth mom, gets to make the plan, pick the family, be involved in the child's life. And my son turned 18 this year, so I am so thankful. And I have been able to be, you know, a part of his life. I set that plan. And also my daughter, I have her and she's 15. And I'm just so thankful that God was able to show me that just because the culture, the people around me, you know, my boyfriend at the time didn't want me to have my children, that I didn't listen to them and I still did. So that's one side of it. Now, even after that, I still worked at humanitarian orgs. So
can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd read that, and so I knew that about you. What I don't think you know about me is that I am the result of an unwanted pregnancy, and I was given up for adoption at birth as well.
Wow.
I want to say to you, as a mother in a tough situation who had to bear physical, emotional hardship to bring a child into this world, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. I think a lot of people don't understand. And to be frank with you, I have had years to really understand the magnitude of what I did, because it was not something that I felt like it was a strength outside of myself.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really thankful that I didn't listen to the voices or the culture around me at the time. And that wasn't just me, because at the time I was very much that way. Yeah. So it was an external strength. And I believe that that strength came from God.
Yeah, and I have a good relationship with my biological mother now. Didn't find her till I was 25. It was not an open adoption, so it took some research. And when I was 48, did a DNA test and found my biological father and had a great relationship with him for several years until we actually buried him on Valentine's Day this year.
Oh, wow.
And
Randy,
due to some circumstances, I was the only blood relative there. And so, you know, you never know. You never know how these things are going to come around. But when you look at the situations that young women oftentimes find themselves in, it is tremendously unfair. I mean, the guys walk away. Girls don't. You know, you bear a tremendous burden. And I get that. But I don't think, as you came to conclude, that burden should then be placed on the child who had no say in the matter. And so to give a child an opportunity, and you don't know, you know, you're not responsible for what happens after that. None of us are responsible for our children. Some of us raise them right and they still go, you know, off the rails. But you gave these children a chance. And to me, that is the message that anyone who's in a difficult situation, an unwanted pregnancy, unplanned pregnancy, can't afford it, can't whatever, just please give that child a chance. And thank you for doing that again.
And Randy, one of the things that I've got to call out, it's what kind of prompted me into getting into SBA, because I was working for humanitarian organizations and I just saw this shift in our culture, and particularly in the Democratic Party, which was, instead of abortion as safe, legal, rare,
yeah,
it was abortion on demand with no limits. And I'm seeing that change not only in friends around me, but just the media, the culture. And I'm thinking, what happened? You know, what went wrong that everybody is buying this lie that women want abortion, that we're, that we embrace it, that we want to shout it, that it makes us feel better, when in fact, the truth of the matter is, for the majority of us as birth moms, and there's a new study that came out actually that proves this, the majority of abortions for women were either forced, coerced, or inconsistent with their values. I mean, over 60% wanted to keep their kids, but they couldn't because of financial, or they thought they couldn't because of financial or emotional reasons. So this is just a pervasive lie in our culture that women are empowered by this abortion on demand, no limits, and that they want it.
Yeah, and men need to step up. And we're told to shut up because we're not women. But we need to step up and demonstrate and support any woman in a difficult situation, and those who, like your organization, that are fighting the fight. Let me ask you about the organization, SBAProLife.org is the URL. Why Susan B. Anthony? I always associated that with the feminist movement.
Well, it's kind of like what we were just talking about. I mean, Susan B. Anthony and others around her at that time, so we're talking like first wave, you know, early feminism, they viewed abortion as just this scourge that was kind of put upon them, women at the time, by men who wanted to cover up their misdeeds or their actions or things that were going on in society. And they said, women want to be with their children, not be separated or pitted against their children. And so that's why.
That's interesting. And some things never change, unfortunately. But, so tell me about some of the work that you guys do.
Well, right now, I mean, you mentioned this is an election season. So we are on the ground in 8 battleground states. We are having the conversations that you and I are having right now. We are talking to people at their doors. We're looking at 4 million doors this election season and just talking to them. You know, how do you feel about abortion? How do you feel about pro-life? Can we tell you what the Biden-Harris administration is proposing through their policies? Because we know what their federal policy is. They've already tried to push it through the Democrats a couple of times. So let's talk to you about what's in that, you know, and really educate them on, if this goes through at the federal level from them, if they nuke the filibuster, if they pack the court, if they, you know, get everybody in the system of government that they want, or they get the majorities, then they want to push through the WHPA, the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. And what that does is it strips all pro-life state laws that have been done since the overturning of Roe, since the Dobbs decision. It also strips parental consent, meaning that your child can go, or minor can go get an abortion, and the parents don't even have to be informed or know, like we have in other states that are blue. It also has conscience laws, strips those. So that means doctors who are pro-life, or don't even have to be pro-life, they just don't want to do an abortion, well, they're forced to. They're going to have to do the abortion. And on top of other things, it also means you, the taxpayer, have to pay for that as well.
I mean, that's not in the Democrat platform, which they haven't released yet. I get that. But that wasn't in a past platform. That you're saying that that is in a law that they was proposed by some people or the Biden administration?
Yeah,
how deep is this?
Yeah, I mean, Randy, they've already tried to push it through since the Dobbs decision came down. They've tried to get votes on it federally, I think 4 or 5 times now. This is, when you see Biden toying around saying restore Roe, this is really their fallback plan that they're already pushing forward. So this is, he doesn't mean Roe v. Wade, which, you know, which wouldn't have stripped all the pro-life laws. He means this piece of legislation that they're already trying to co-sign for.
Did you see him back when he was in Florida and they're railing against DeSantis restrictions and they talked about wanting to have more abortions, and he does that sign? Did you happen to
see
that?
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, are you Catholic? I'm not Catholic, but are you?
No, I'm not, but a lot of
people
I work
with.
Right. Yeah, I was too. Somebody said, and I don't know how far off this is. I mean, it's just like their new sacrament or something. Abortion is, I just never thought I'd see the day where they're affirmatively running on abortion as their primary platform, like the primary campaign aim.
Okay, so let me ask you about that, because they are, but so much of what I've heard, even they were saying you there's no exception for an abortion in Texas. I went and looked at the law, and yes, there is. Whether you agree with those exceptions or not, they're there in the law, and yet those who are pushing, well, the Democrats basically, were lying about it. And I'm like, okay, what else are they lying about? Because there's a lot of not just misinformation, malinformation out there around this issue. So what are you proposing, or what's sort of the Republican position as opposed to what the Democrats say we want to do? Because they're just wrong.
Well, you just hit on something that I really want to talk about, which is the misinformation, or just the attempt to lie at all costs. I've written about this. I talk about it a lot. Biden-Harris's Abortions Around America tour, it's just propagating more lies. I mean, this is the level of desperation if you have to fearmonger pregnant women in pro-life states and tell them they're going to die without elective abortion. So you're right. I mean, they're telling them that you can't get emergency care. They're telling them that you can't get miscarriage care, that you can't access birth control. I mean, these are all lies. And we know that, and you just said it, Randy, in all 50 states, you can get life-saving emergency care that doesn't have to come in the form of an abortion, but even an abortion in an emergency situation is available in all 50 states. And we've got to make sure that doctors do their due diligence and actually provide life-saving care at all costs. But they're running on that. They're lying about that across the country because, I mean, it's desperation. They think the fear mongering and the scare tactics will win to get them back votes. So we just got to call it out. The issue is they're getting away with it because not a lot of people are responding to them on this. I saw Biden in Florida and somebody asked him, you know, what limit would you put on abortion? He just chuckled. Yeah. He chuckled and said, I don't have to answer that. That's a trap from the Republicans. Well, yes, you do have to answer what boundary or limit you'd put on abortion, but he gets away with it because the corporate media won't push him and the GOP isn't really calling it out. So we've got to be on the offense more and make that contrast.
I don't think he knows what limit he would put on it because they haven't put it on the teleprompter for him, but that's just a pause. So what limits, okay. A couple of questions. I mean, I got so many, but let's start with this one because I hear this a lot from Democrats, people, you know, leaning that way. I say, you know, if a woman has a baby and then throws that baby in the dumpster to die, is that murder? And pretty much everybody says, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, what if a few hours before she delivers, she has an abortion? Is that murder? And you get this uncomfortable, and they kind of get to yes. You know, okay, what about the day before? The week before? And because my point is, at some point it becomes murder. And if your point is at delivery, and then we disagree, obviously. But most people go, well, yeah, I mean, third trimester, or I wouldn't, or maybe second trimester, because I know there's some viability with medical support in the second trimester. And then they fall back because they don't want to answer those. Well, that never happens. Nobody has a third trimester abortion. Do you know any numbers on that?
Yes, I do. In fact, and yes, they do happen. And we have 7 states in this country right now. For any reason, you can get an elective abortion through all 9 months where I live right next to Washington, D.C. at any time for any reason, really no questions asked. You can go. And Planned Parenthood's former research arm, the Guttmacher Institute. So that's their data, not ours. Mm-hmm. Their data says that annually it's like 63,000 of these happening past 15 weeks. And the other thing that they'll try to say is, well, that's for an emergency only. There is absolutely no data to back that up at all. In fact, when I'm looking at the pro-abortion researchers' data, they don't even affirm that.
Mm. You know, what's interesting is if that were true, then you said, okay, well, then let's at least start with outlawing the things you say never happen. And you watch them back off real quick. No, 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 no. Right?
You can always catch them on that because they will never say okay. That's why they say it has to be open for no questions asked at all times. So if you actually press them on that and say, okay, emergency abortions only, they're going to slap right back and say, oh, no, 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 no.
Yep. It happens every time. But so here's the question on the other end. Should there be any cases where abortions are legal, in your opinion?
Well, for me, I mean, I believe if you believe that it's a human life, then and we saw this with Bill Maher. Did you watch Bill Maher?
I saw the clip.
Yeah. I thought that was a very strange situation because although it was incredibly an evil statement, it was intellectually honest. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, people come at pro-lifers and say that they hate women. They don't hate women. they just view that as murder, a murder of a human life. And it kind of is, according to him.
Yeah.
So yes, it is a human life. Yeah. So the conversations you were just talking about, you're really talking with people about, well, when do you think this human life begins? And so that's why I say, when do you put a price on a child in the womb's life? Now, of course, everyone in the pro-life movement understands that if a mother's life is in danger, everybody understands that that mother, her life should be saved. But at what cost does it, outside of that emergency situation? That's why we have rules in all the states that say that that is feasible.
Mm-hmm.
But then when does the child's life need to be sacrificed?
Right.
It goes back to the value
right.
that we're talking about. Why do they not have value in our society or culture?
Yeah. Yeah. And are they still pulling this trick where we say to save the life of the mother, they say to save the health of the mother, which includes mental health?
Well, you will know this if you're talking about the legal side. That actually was in the law. I mean, Roe and Doe, and you had health. And so that's what we're seeing right now. They're trying to use that original, that Roe Doe definition of health, which means financial health,
yep,
mental health, mm-hmm. familial health. They want to get that through, and that's why they're fighting all of these pro-life laws to say, actually, you need to make it this expansive, drive a truck through type of definition so everybody can just get an elective abortion.
Yeah, yeah, which I can't get around the idea that that is just nothing but murder. And what's funny mm-hmm. is you get a lot of people saying, oh, if I'd lived in the 1850s, I would have stood up so that people wouldn't be dehumanized and murdered, oppressed. Or if I'd have lived in 1930s Germany, I would have stood up when they were dehumanizing Jews and killing Jews. And I'm like, you know what? They're dehumanizing children in the womb today and killing them. Where are you?
And Randy, can I also add, moms don't want this.
Mm.
Moms like myself, we're asking for help. You know, just I ask, what is Biden and Harris's plan for the majority of moms that say, can you please not funnel me to an abortion? Can you please actually help me?
Mm.
What's that? They're not putting an affirmative plan out for them at all. No. They're just saying more abortions.
Yeah, well, even worse, and I know you know this, is they're actually making it difficult on a lot of people who want to provide those services.
Oh, without a doubt. And I'm glad you brought this up, because this is a big issue. And this is something that we're also seeing at the federal level, which is the Biden-Harris administration stripping pregnancy resource centers of funding. The little funding, that they have, they are in these states, they are stripping that. So these women can't even get these financial or physical resources that they're giving out. We've got thousands of these across the country that are doing amazing work on the ground to help these moms and kids.
Yeah.
Why on earth, if they believe in quote unquote choice, would they do that?
Well, I think we know why. So here's the question, bottom line, and I could go on because this is a big deal to me, as it is you too, obviously. What can we do? What can the individual person who doesn't have a podcast and a broadcast show or magazine outlets and doesn't work full time for an activist organization or educational organization, what can the average person do?
Well, I think it starts with having these types of conversations that you and I are having today. I mean, before I started this job, I realized people did not want to talk about this topic.
Mm-mm.
So I think those of us who are pro-life, even if you're not, but you don't want a no limits abortion on demand standard federally, start educating yourself, start looking at the science. That's really important. It's only going in one direction.
Yes, it is.
And the other side is really becoming science deniers on this issue. I mean, educating yourself on the science of human development. That's really, really key here. Look at the legislation that's being put forward and have these thoughtful conversations with each other, really questioning. And also, this is a good year because it's an election season. If you feel so led, I'd encourage you to go to sbaprolife.org. Like I said, we're canvassing in 8 battleground states, and we're having those talks with people at the door and just educating them on the policies being put forward from the other side. So.
Yeah,
I appreciate
the work you're doing. Would encourage anybody to check out the website. And most of all, first of all, don't be intimidated by people who want to shut us up. Male, female, anybody out there, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, stand up. Let's not be quiet. I'm never going to shut up about this because it's too important. And do what you can do. You can't do everything, but together we can do a lot. So, Emily, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and your insight. Anything I missed before I let you go?
No, I think you got it, Randy. It's been a great conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate you so much and do appreciate the work you're doing. And do encourage you to check out the website. I'll show it to you here. But one thing you can do right now is hit that share button. Let other people know. Get them in on the conversation. If you haven't liked, followed, or subscribed, I would invite you to do that so you get more notifications. And we'll see you again next time here on Life Today Live.
Are we safe to America? Be true to what you said on paper.